Good morning, everybody. It is great to be with you today. I hope that you had a terrific Christmas celebration, whatever that looked like for you. It is hard to believe after all the preparation and all the getting ready that we now have experienced Christmas together. And now here we are at the end of the year. And so this is a really special day for us in a lot of ways because it gives us a unique opportunity to really pause and look back on the year that we've just come through and to give thanks to God for all that God did and provided throughout the past year. And also to take some time to start to look ahead. So that's what we're going to be doing here this morning. And as a result, our time together in worship is going to be a little bit different. It's really going to be focused on pausing and giving thanks for what God has done in the past year. And part of what we're going to do is we're going to be using a liturgical response from Isaiah chapter 61. And we're going to have the opportunity today to hear from a number of our staff on some of the great moments, some of the God moments, some of the places we've been seeing God move in the past year. And we're going to end each one of those remembrances with this liturgical response from Isaiah 61. And part of our hope today is that every time you hear those words from Isaiah 61, that the sheer repetition of it will center us in the presence of God, helping us both to give thanks for what God has done, but also preparing our hearts for what's ahead. As we reflect on these elements together, we want to connect not just with one another, and we want to connect not just with our community, but in this space and in this time today, we want to connect with God in worship. And so today, here's how I'm going to invite us to do that. I want to invite you now to make yourself comfortable, to set aside any distractions that you might have so that you can give your full focus and attention to God. And today I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 61. And as I read these verses, I just invite us today to take a nice, long, slow, deep breath. And I invite us today to open our hearts to really hear and receive these words of life. So if you need to leave your eyes open and focus on something, do that. If you need to close them, do that. But do whatever is going to let you hear these words today. Would you join with me in this time of centering as we share in these words of life from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprouts come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." I invite us, as we reflect on those words together now, to hear this word of blessing and what we've seen God do in this past year as Alana begins our time together.
My name is Alana Updahl, and I am the worship minister here at First Church. Worship at First Church this past year has been such a meaningful and joy-filled time. It was often that weekly reminder that we no longer belong to ourselves, but instead are being transformed to look like and serve Christ. It was a time to gather together as a unified body to both experience and respond to God. There have been so many ways we have celebrated throughout this year in worship. We celebrated 17 baptisms this year, as well as had a Sunday where anyone who so desired could reaffirm their baptism. After Baptism Sunday, there were many reflections on the beauty of this moment as so many came forward. Thinking back to this Sunday myself, I remember how quietly powerful it was to see so many taking such a personal moment with tears in their eyes, to pause at the water, and then to pray afterwards. What a stunning reminder that God can work in the quietest of times and do the biggest of things. We celebrated with various prayer journeys throughout the year. As a congregation, we prayed together throughout the season of Lent, leading up to fall kickoff, and most recently, through the season of Advent. To take a moment each day and be united in prayer, centered on one message, and lifting our voices up together, creates space for the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and work within us. I know that whenever my email notified me that I had the daily prayer waiting, I was excited to open up the message and take a moment to pause. It was so encouraging to know that the same words were being repeated by those that I am in community with. What a blessing to know that God was unifying us throughout the week around prayer. We celebrated stories of transformation in Christ in many of our services throughout this year. We had many in our congregation share their testimony. We had many interviews to highlight what different ministries are doing. Stories are a way to share a piece of our lives and to bring relational connection to worship. Every time there was a story shared, I would often hear comments for weeks afterward sharing appreciation. What a gift to be able to learn more about those we worship alongside of and the ways in which God has worked in their lives. Thank you for making this past year such a beautiful, honoring, and unifying time of worship together. Let's close our time now with some repeated words. Will you share in speaking the following words with me? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed His good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display His splendor.
I'd like to tell you about Disciples Journey. We've had Disciples Journey at First Church for 6 years, and in that time, at least 200 people have been a part of it. People have become members of First Church. Disciples Journey graduates have become members of lead council and leaders of ministry. I believe that Disciples Journey fuels our vision of transformation in Christ by helping people connect with God and the people of First Church. They discover God's unique call on their life and then embrace God's call as a leader so that they can become a multiplying disciple. It works. People who have taken Disciples Journey are leading Bible study at First Night, serving as Fuse leaders, organizing congregational prayer initiatives, and facilitating Disciples Journey Step 1. But it's not just about helping people find their place in ministry. What I want to celebrate today is the way that Disciples Journey helps to create the fabric of First Church. This morning, some of us are gathered in person and some of us are gathering online. On a regular Sunday, we would be gathering at two different times in two different buildings. Few of us know the people who worship at a different time or in a different space than we do. But in Disciples Journey, over and over again, we have watched new relationships develop between different members of the body of Christ. People who would have never had an opportunity to get to know each other sit face to face, listen to each other's heart and stories, share prayer requests. We especially saw that happen last spring when one of the members of the Disciples Journey Step 3 class received a cancer diagnosis and had to face a series of tests to better understand what the future might hold. She didn't just share prayer requests with her Disciples Journey prayer partner. The whole class surrounded her with love and support and prayers. And when the news from the doctors was better than she dared to hope, the whole class rejoiced and celebrated with her. I don't think I have to tell you what it means to have people walking alongside of us like that. It feels good to feel connected, to know people, and to be known by people. Even online, it's good to be greeted by name in the chat and to say good morning to people we know. In Disciples Journey, we get to know each other as disciples of Jesus. Pastor Matt and I have had the privilege of seeing the words Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4 come to life over and over again in Disciples Journey. And so we are grateful for all of you who are growing up in every way to be more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And as Christ works in his people, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, each part doing its own special work and helping the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what church looks like for Paul. Thanks be to God for the ways we see that happening here. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed his good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display his splendor. Amen.
Within the ministry, First Nursery School, there are so many unknowns that come with our ministry. We certainly have numbers to share. I could tell you the number of kids that come through our doors every year and the families that we serve. But with the First Nursery, there are a lot of metrics that we can't put down on paper, which makes me think of a particular part in Scripture in the book of John in chapter 4. His disciples are urging him to eat, and he turns the topic of food into another lesson for them, and he explains, starting in verse 35. I tell you, look at the fields. They are ripe with harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages, and even now he harvests the crop of eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying says, one sows and another reaps. It's true, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. When working and serving little ones in the families, the teachers have the joy of sowing knowledge, kindness, grace, mercy, and the gospel into their hearts and minds. When they move on past our school into elementary school or to homeschool, there's so much that we don't get to see or experience. And that can be hard. We as humans love to see the fruits of our labor. We like to see the end result of something started. But that is when this passage of Scripture helps to encourage us. It's not about witnessing the end result. It's about doing the tasks that he brings before us. And the task of our kids' educational and spiritual growth can start with us and continues on with his providence and sovereignty. However, God does give us glimpses of our sowing. When I see a FNS family attending First Church, or when we hear from a school teacher how well prepared our First Nursery kids are, or when we see one of our FNS alumni getting confirmed or baptized, those are the moments that he gives us to know that the sowing from our teachers is working towards harvest. Essentially, we put our trust in our Lord and Savior to know that kids and families that First Nursery serves will benefit from the sowing of our teachers' love, kindness, and support. And we graciously pass on the task of harvest to the one that God places in the next step of their growth. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed His good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display His splendor.
Hi, I'm Courtney, the Children's Minister at First Church, and I oversee our Nursery, Spark, and Ignite ministries. Nursery is for our children birth to age 3, Spark is for our children age 3 through 3rd grade, and Ignite is for our children in 4th and 5th grade. Here at First Church, we believe that every time we are with children is an intentional opportunity to share Jesus and His love with them. I have been blessed to have gotten to know 17 new families and 30 new children who have either connected through our Sunday morning worship, Jumpin' Jesus, Transform Kids Edition, Parents Afternoon Out, or everyone's favorite week, Vacation Bible School. I love seeing the children's faces at the Spark table on Sunday mornings. Every time they recite their scripture, bring their Bible, and add another pom-pom to the jar, it reminds me how much we've grown. I'm so grateful for the ways we've seen transformation, and I love seeing the spiritual development of these children. At the beginning of the year, Amy, the children's ministry assistant, would script out prayers that the children repeat after the teacher. Now, when we get to prayer time, we ask the children if they want to pray. I'm always surprised at how many of them volunteer at one time to lead the prayer all by themselves. And it's so humbling to hear the children open up in their prayers and what comes from their hearts. Thank you for all the ways you've supported our children. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed His good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display His splendor.
Ministry has been flourishing this year as more people have gathered together to surround our youth. There are 26 volunteers on rotation to help with all the different parts of youth ministry. This has been such a blessing, as our students are supported not only by me, but other leaders of faith. It's important to us that students feel sought after and wanted, so that they actually know that Jesus seeks after them to this and an even greater degree. We do this through Fuse events, such as life groups, youth group, confirmation, and then through Faith Zone, where we go to the Williamsport High School and Middle School. We have time for food, fellowship, and introduce new students to faith. We've had 30 students on average for youth group, 21 students at Faith Zone in the high school, and 117 students at Faith Zone in the middle school. But I really feel like these numbers are not just representative of the numerical growth, but also the equivalent spiritual growth of our students. We've had students who are taking risks to lead in their faith. Sometimes it's as simple as one of our high school guys who noticed that there are other students getting distracted at youth group and called their attention. He knew what we were about to do next, so he instructed them on the next steps without any of the leaders prompting him to. One of our middle school girls takes time regularly to ask our leaders, including myself, what she can be praying for. So she takes time to pray for us. And we have two students who help to develop the content of Faith Zone. They've been coming in with specific content and ideas that they want to cover. They've been very eager to make sure that other people in their school know about Jesus. So, for example, this Christmas, they wanted to make sure that their classmates actually knew the nativity story. They don't want to skim the surface, but instead dive deep, and it's been a lot of fun helping them do that. It's risky to ask someone so much older for a prayer request, and it's risky to have them lead in Fuse or be leading right there in your school with your peers. But these students have been stepping up, and it shows a beautiful desire for not only more of a faith experience for themselves, but that they really want their friends to experience God's love as well. This is just the beginning of the incredible ways that God has been moving amidst the students' lives and the youth leader team. So I can proudly say that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed His good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display His splendor.
Hey, my name is Michael Glazier, and I am the College and Care Minister here at the church. And God has been moving in remarkable ways this year through the college ministry. One of the ways I really want to highlight is, if you didn't know, we have something every week through the college school year called Sunday Dinner. And what happens is families right here at the church host a meal on Sunday evenings where we eat together with college students and we play board games. It's really straightforward, but it's beautiful because it's a creative way where we find opportunities to help students break down some of those walls. They get to start experiencing Christians in a way that's not as threatening, where they start seeing them as real people that aren't so bad. And a lot of the time, what we find is students will come and they'll say, "I'm not really sure about God, but I really like you guys." And we count that as a win. But there are moments when something really special happens. And what we found is this past summer, we actually had two students who had come back from break, and they had been kind of fitting in that same category. But finally, something had changed where God had moved in their life, and they said, "I think I'm finally ready to follow Jesus." And we celebrated with them, and we were excited. But for some of you who might be more removed from college-aged young people, what we found was that it's really kind of a risk to make that decision on a college campus. And for these students, a lot of them immediately lost friends. So as they had musicals and as they had sports events and as they had recitals, where they would look out into the audience, there were empty seats where there once were friends. And that's where our college ministry was able to step in and live into the idea that sometimes you are the only Bible that someone will read. We were able for these students to be the good news and to be able to show them that at times we know following God can be difficult, but we don't have to do it alone. And in that way, First Church was able to show these young people the love of God in a tangible way. And that is a huge win. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed His good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display His splendor.
When I look at the example of Jesus, I see that a lot of His ministry was really about righting wrongs in society and restoring people who were downtrodden. For instance, think of the crippled man that Jesus healed in John chapter 5. For 38 years, no one helped this man until Jesus came along, and He righted this wrong. Or think about the woman who suffered from hemorrhaging for 12 years. She touched Jesus' hem of His garment in Mark chapter 5. She spent all of her money on doctors and still wasn't healed. Likely this means she was unable to participate in society. She would have been shunned as unclean because of this malady. But Jesus righted this wrong. And at the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation shows us an image. All of the nations of the world coming towards this new Jerusalem. And it tells us that there is a tree of life whose leaves are for the healing of these nations. In this new world, all people have access to a flourishing life in Christ. And it's in the example of Christ that we, as a collection of believers, we carry on the works of Jesus in anticipation of this new creation. In 2023, First Church has hosted incredible ministries that have touched thousands of lives throughout the year. Code Blue, for instance, has used our church building here to give shelter to 81 different people who were without warm homes during cold months. Transform hosted 170 volunteers who offered hands and feet to improve and care for over 40 local homes and nonprofits. Our Helping Hands ministry aided 115 different households to cover needs such as food, gas, water, electricity during these hard times. These are only some of the ways in which this congregation seeks to love people well and to be a graceful companion to those in need. And so may 2024 be a year in which God continues to be at work in us and through us. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. we have proclaimed his good news. A proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display his splendor.
Hey everyone, I'm Mitch Marcello, the Director of Innovation here at First Church. Now, this is not a typical position at the church, especially because it doesn't involve tech. Now, what I get to focus on is helping creativity to really take root in the life of the church, creating an environment where amongst the staff and the congregation where new ideas and ministries are given the space to grow and helping give the support needed for those ideas to become reality. Now, over the past year, we've reimagined our worship design team and process, innovating the way that we come up with new ideas and then implement them inside of all of our worship experiences. We've also focused on increasing the ways that our congregation can become part of what is happening at the church through their leadership, their giftings, and their passions. Now, we're also just over 1 year of expanding our contemporary service back to the CLC, where we've seen growth not only in numbers, but in vitality and involvement throughout all of the service. And perhaps most notable is our new partnership with St. John's School of the Arts, which will be officially starting at our North Campus in January of 2024. Now, I love the saying that we are created to create, and I am so very blessed to be part of a church that is excited to live into this part of our calling as a body of Christ. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed his good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display his splendor.
This morning, we have heard repeatedly the refrain from Isaiah chapter 61 that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is here. We have proclaimed his good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Help us to display his splendor." We've heard these words as we have looked back to give thanks for the many wonderful things that God has done throughout this year. And I hope that in a world of constant change, that the power today of ritual, of giving thanks is significant, of hearing those same words over and over, that there's something comforting about that. It's why we celebrate the birth of Christ every year, because that grounds us in our faith. It's why we marvel every day at the repetition of beautiful sunrises and sunsets every day, because we see their beauty, which reflects the beauty of God, which never, ever gets old. Sometimes we don't realize how much God has done for us or how far God has brought us until we actually stop and take a moment to look back and give thanks, which today gives us the opportunity to do. And every time we do that, we are drawn into the presence of God. I hope this day gives us that opportunity. I love what we are sharing from Isaiah 61 today. The setting of that chapter is this: the Israelite people, they had been in exile. They had been hauled off away from Jerusalem as prisoners. But now here in this place, they're able to come back and return back to Jerusalem, which is great, great news. It really is. They have been freed from captivity. They are no longer slaves. They are experiencing restoration. There's so much to be thankful for. And at the same time, the point of Isaiah 61 is not just to stop and give thanks for what has been by looking back. It's also an opportunity using thanksgiving to serve as the fuel to keep going. The point of the Israelites coming back to Jerusalem was not just to be set free from captivity, even though that's a really big deal. The point is also that in that freedom, they're called to keep going. They are to continue the work of God. They are to rebuild the temple. They are to seek vitality for Jerusalem. They are to live into the kingdom of God here on earth. And part of what that means is that they are to preach good news. They are to bind up the brokenhearted, to not just listen, but pull together broken pieces to foster healing. They are to proclaim freedom and release. They are to proclaim the year of Yahweh, which is also known as the year of Jubilee, a year when debts were forgiven and equality for all was advocated and restoration was restored and a taste of heaven was experienced. The point was not simply to give thanks for what had been, but in that thankfulness to continue forward. And we at First Church seek to do the same. Today, we don't just come to look back and give thanks for the amazing things that God has already done and what God is fostering among us. We also come to give thanks so that we might move forward, using thanksgiving as a foundation for moving forward. What that means for us is that we see 2024 as a year to keep moving ahead into what God is doing among us. We see it as a year to proclaim good news, particularly among our children. We want to be a church that loves all children in the church in such a way that a strong foundation of faith in Jesus Christ is built and established and fostered. And we are committed to fostering space and time that will allow our kids and our youth to know the deep truths of Jesus. As thrilled as we are to have all the new families that connected with us in children's ministry this past year, we only see that increasing in the year ahead. We see 2024 as a year to proclaim the good news among those youth who are also not yet connected in the life of the church. Although we've seen lots of students connect in this past year, particularly in places like Faith Zone, we see in 2024 this only increasing. We see 2024 as a year to begin to free ourselves from the weight of debt incurred as we took the path to becoming an independent church. Because the sooner we can eliminate that debt, the sooner we can offer more blessing to others. And we see 2024 as a year to explore connection beyond ourselves that will foster the most joy and the most praise possible. We see it as a year to plant seeds that will become oaks of righteousness in the kingdom of God. Everything that you heard today, we see as seeds upon which to grow. From depth of discipleship to alleviating pain in Williamsport to growing in new connections, we see 2024 as a year of jubilee to keep moving forward so that we not only share in the thanksgiving and the refrain that we've already heard, but we continue to add to it and build onto it. We continue to move forward in what God has in store. So I invite you to join me once more in sharing not only the refrain that we've heard repeatedly this day and for which we give thanks, but also to build upon it and be inspired in gratitude for the year ahead. And so we hear, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here. We have proclaimed His good news, a proclamation of freedom, release, and the year of our Lord's favor. Help us to display His splendor. And now we continue forward and we add, help us to rebuild and renew. Help us to be servants of our God. You promise an everlasting covenant with us. All who see will know that we are a people the Lord has blessed. We delight greatly in the Lord. Our souls rejoice in our God. Lord, we pray that your righteousness and praise will spring up before us in this new year. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you for this day to both pause and remember what you have done, but also, God, to be encouraged about what you will do. Lord, every time we pause and remember your righteousness, every time we pause and give thanks, we are strengthened for what lies ahead. God, today we pray very specifically for the year 2024. We pray, God, for your provision and for your guidance. We pray, God, that it is a year to live into Jubilee, into your goodness, into your freedom, into all the ways that you lay out for us. God, we pray for the children in our church. Lord, may they know you and love you and have a foundation upon you that is built in their life. We pray, God, for children in our community but not yet connected among us. Help us, God, to connect with them and help them to grow in you. God, we pray for our youth. We thank you for those already connected with us. But we pray, God, for the opportunity and the ability to connect with many youth who are not yet walking with you or knowing your love and grace. God, we pray in 2024 for your provision, that you will give us hearts of generosity. We pray that in 2024, you will help us as your people to offer healing to the brokenness that is in our world, to offer healing to the brokenness that's in our families, and offer healing to the brokenness in our own lives. God, we pray in this year ahead that you will help us to come humbly before you, to confess and repent where we are wrong, where, God, we are walking in sinfulness and brokenness, and that, Lord, as we would repent, we would receive your grace and your forgiveness, that we might walk into new life in you. God, help us in 2024 to be a people where we see multiplying discipleship among us and where we see transformation in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, on this day, on this final day of the year, as we pause, we give you thanks once again for all that you have brought us through and all that you have done. And we pray that upon that foundation of thankfulness, we will move forward in courage and in faith and in new life in you for the year to come. We pray all of this today in the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ together.